Tonight on Super Cinema, we take a brief look at Batman vs. Superman. Welcome to Super Cinema, the comic book podcast where we break down the media that comics have created. I'm your host, Benjamin Hamlin.
I'm Donald Orr.
And today, Donald, what are we going to be talking about?
We're going to do a brief post-discussion of Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice.
You say post because we just got out of the theater. This will be your second time viewing, and yes. This will be my first time viewing. And if I sound like an a raging terminal patient, there's perhaps a reason. Donald, this is the second time you've seen the movie, so I think it's appropriate we start with your thoughts since you've had a little more time to process it, i.e. less than 25 minutes.
Well, I saw the movie opening night on Thursday at 6:30, and I've got to say, after seeing the film, I unfortunately was really disappointed with the film. The first hour or so was just very disjointed. A lot of things didn't flow well as far as like scenes went. Some of the individual scenes were good, but the movie as a whole didn't really flow well. The narrative didn't build as much as I wanted it to. The initial fight, the big fight everyone was waiting for between Batman and Superman, I feel wasn't deserved as far as the moment. The reasonings behind Superman fighting Batman is, to be honest, a little dumb. The way the fight ended, to be honest, was a little dumb. The way the movie ended, to be honest, was a little dumb. I did not enjoy it. Spoilers.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say we'll be getting into it. So
yeah,
if you haven't seen the movie already, probably don't.
Yeah. So I mean, this is after my second time viewing it. I will say I did enjoy it more because I suppose I accept these versions of the characters for what they are. But I gotta say, even when, you know, about halfway through the movie, I still physically winced when Batman started, like, using guns and killing people. And I know sometimes it's hard because we have these preconceived notions of the characters, but at the same time, it's a part of this character, the core of the characters, where they don't kill. And it, you know, a lot of us had the same feelings with Superman back in Man of Steel, and I know a lot of us were thinking, oh man, maybe they'll address that in this movie. The trailers surely made us believe that, but it seems both Batman and Superman are still stone-cold killers, and that just breaks my heart as a DC fan, as a comic book fan, and as a movie fan. And with the movie, even with these different versions of the characters, just from a story and narrative perspective, again, the editing was atrocious. The story didn't really build up the way I wanted it to. It just didn't live up to what I wanted. And I even lowered my expectations before seeing the film the first time, just because I did see the Rotten Tomatoes scores and the critics. But I also knew that fans were still enjoying it. And I can see why. They're still good in the film. And we'll dig deeper when we do the full podcast next week. But I unfortunately am very, very disappointed with the movie.
Yeah, it is worth noting that this is indeed only a sample, and that we'll be getting into this on what I presume will be a very lengthy level.
Yes.
There's a lot to unpack in this movie. And not just for the movie itself, but it's obviously, you can't really talk about a big superhero blockbuster these days without getting into its relationship to other similar movies. With the past movies that have so clearly inspired this movie, and in a conversation I'm dreading because I know it's pretty much going to be a lot at this point, the movies that this will undoubtedly impact. That's not a DC universe I want to see. This movie is pretty much just bad fan fiction. I mean, that's saying something in a given that it's based off of a medium that we both love, comic books, in which nothing is truly, like, really absolute. Continuity changes all the time. For DC, that's actually roughly about every 15 years. You know, there's different ages of heroes, the gold and the bronze, the silver. You know, Batman used to have guns. Batman doesn't have guns now. Superman used to, you know, just leap, not even fly. You know, Wonder Woman actually has been pretty constant throughout. Green Lantern used to not even be a science fiction story. It was just a weird guy with an actual lantern and a domino mask. Like, you know, characters change. I get that. But no version of the character should ever be what these versions of the character are. Taking into account that so many creators, so many writers, so many artists, inkers, colorists have all contributed to, like, the great grand picture that is comics in general, you know, Marvel and DC specifically, of these characters that get passed between creator and creator and creator. But this just reads like somebody, and I say that in the sense that, of course, every character has multiple versions. Every character has multiple endings, multiple origins, multiple beginnings. You know, comics are constantly in flux. That's what's so cool about them, in a lot of cases. But this one project in particular feels like such an outlier from everything else. It feels, it feels like bad fan fiction, where everybody is out of character. Whoever wrote it has a clear misunderstanding of what these characters are actually about. Donald, as you said, and spoiler warning again, Superman uses guns. In the previous movie, Clark...
Batman uses guns.
I'm sorry, I have grossly misspoken. Batman uses guns. Superman, you know, snaps a dude's neck. Wonder Woman's fine. You know, Lex Luthor occasionally just starts babbling actual madness for no given reason. Lois Lane is fine, actually. She doesn't have a lot to do, but she's fine. Lex Luthor's just babbling nonsense for half of the movie. Like, literally, this movie has, like, a fundamental misunderstanding of, like, who these characters are, what they're meant to do, why their different styles clash. If there's ever a reason for Superman and Batman to fight each other, this isn't it. This movie isn't it. The actual, you know, vague pretense, you know, the reason why they clash isn't it. This is an out-of-character Lex. This is an out-of-character Batman. This is an out-of-character Superman. And the problem with that is I feel that's going to reflect the next generation of DC movies. And I'm worried it'll bleed over into Marvel as well. There's obviously been already several kind of major out-of-character sort of shit. But what really bugs me is that this movie has a thesis that it wants to get across. And it gets it across, like, four times that I really noticed in four lines that kept cropping up. Three of which I remember. Unfortunately, I didn't recall them all. But this movie, in its thesis, tries to point out that superheroes are wrong. And that it has a extraordinarily pessimistic view of superheroes in general, and especially of Superman himself. There's that one scene... well, I guess every time it's fucking Lex Luthor does the old demons come from above bit. When Perry White is yelling at Clark Kent and he says... you know, you couldn't, you know, you can't get away with this anymore. This isn't 1938. Superman is just a, you know, he's talking to Lois. Superman's just a dream of someone in Kansas. You know, it's all these little... There's one more, and I'm spacing on it. There's one more specifically on that theme. And then there was the final one where Superman starts to fly away and he's just like, no one's good forever. And it's this constant reinforcement that the things... that we as fans and we as, you know, consumers of media, the things that we think are good, you know, Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, Captain America, Iron Man, Daredevil, all of these characters, that we are wrong for thinking they are good. We are wrong for believing in them, and we are wrong for enjoying them. I don't buy into that premise at all. And that's the premise this movie constantly tries to portray to its audience in a way I do not appreciate. And then they kill him.
Well said.
And then this movie is so committed to its encapsulated view of what superheroes need to be, which is grim and gritty and willing to murder and willing to fight each other over extremely petty squabbles, that they're willing to just go at each other's throats, and that they're not good at all, that there is no actual good. Senator Finch in the movie brings up, oh, what is good? How do we decide that? And this movie posits that there is no good and evil. There's just people with power beating the shit out of each other. I don't appreciate that portrayal at all. And then they finally encapsulate that. They refuse to admit that their world of darkness and grittiness might be wrong. So instead of raising that up, they just kill the most good thing in it. And that's Superman.
I'm so sorry, Ben.
Well, my college education of being a media critic has at least paid off. That was worth the 4 years.
I will say there are a couple positive elements in the film. And we'll flesh this out more in the full podcast. I did like Ben as Batman. I didn't like the fact that he killed people. And that, I don't know whose fault that is, whether it's Chris Terrio's, David Goyer's, Zack Snyder's. I didn't like that choice for the character, as Ben so eloquently said. But I did enjoy Ben in the role of Bruce Wayne and Batman. Wonder Woman I enjoyed. She didn't get enough screen time to really flesh out who exactly she was. But for what she was in, I enjoyed her. But yeah, I do agree with Ben. I remember after the first screening of the movie, I was just so bummed because, you know, I understand Warner Brothers want to differentiate from Marvel, but that doesn't mean you need to be devoid of any sort of joy or happiness. I believe there are only like a few smiles in this movie, most of which are portrayed by Lex Luthor when he's goes insane, which doesn't make sense to me. I read an article saying that Jesse Eisenberg was originally cast as the Riddler, which makes so much more sense when you look at that individual performance. It's almost like they copy-pasted, you know, cut the Riddler and copy-pasted Lex Luthor and just kept the same character. But I digress. I don't really care at this point. Warner Brothers, Zack Snyder, the creative team behind this universe, need to have some sort of board meeting and go back to formula as far as what makes these characters so great, because I believe they messed up greatly. And if you go back to our Man of Steel podcast, both Ben and I found a lot of elements we liked from that film. I liked it a little bit more, and I thought it was a passable film, but this is a step backward, in my opinion, and it's not where the universe should go. They jam-pack so much into this movie. They try to jam-pack The Dark Knight Returns and The Deaths of Superman all into a 2.5-hour package that could have been 2 hours if they really wanted to, because the first hour was so boring and full of fat they could have just trimmed off of the movie. Which makes me wonder how much more boring the 3-hour cut will be. But I will still watch that and see if that's paced better. But the film as a whole is just an utter disappointment. And it's unfortunate for me to say that as a DC fan, a comic book fan, a movie fan, and critic. And Ben has posted a lot about the whole criticism versus the fans, and are fans bashing critics and DC fans inevitably going against Marvel fans, and it's that all needs to really just go away.
Please, we are no longer 12.
And there are some fans who unabashedly love this movie, and we can't discredit that. Film is subjective. You're allowed to have your own opinion.
Narrative is subjective.
Yeah, and whether you know, whether you're blinded by hype or not, I'm not really one to judge you or not on whether you like this film or not. I think that's great if you really enjoyed the film. But for me, for Ben, this, and for many other critics, definitely, and even many fans, and it was just another disappointment. And it's a disappointment to see so many quote-unquote true DC fans bash other comic book fans who don't like the movie and calling them not true fans, which I think is a travesty.
It's gatekeeping.
Exactly.
It's gross gatekeeping. In the same way that some people are like, oh, you can't be a fan of, I don't know, Doctor Who, if you haven't seen, you know, Doctors 9 and 10. It's the same thing. It's just, you can't be a fan of DC if you thought this movie was bad. It's gatekeeping. We don't have room for that in our community.
Exactly.
We were supposed to grow past that like 10 years ago.
And with the DC Universe, there are so many different ways to gain access to this universe of characters. So many people were introduced to Batman maybe through the 66 series, maybe through the Neil Adams comics, maybe through the games, the Dark Knight trilogy,
the animated series,
yeah. Justice League Unlimited. So many different ways to be... The comics!
Nolan's trilogy.
Exactly. There are so many ways people can access these characters, and, you know, a lot of people have their, quote-unquote, their Batman or their Superman, and there's always something that ties each interpretation of those characters together. But I feel, again, with this movie, that it's a tragic misstep as far as character and narrative. Should Zack Snyder still be attached to Justice League?
No.
Many will say no. Some will say yes. I'm middle of the road, honestly, because he's failed us twice. He's already attached to the project. I will say they definitely need to go back to the drawing board and reestablish tone for this universe, reestablish what kind of narrative they want to do. They have two parts for the Justice League movie. So they should have enough time to build up a strong narrative that will hit home. Will they? I don't know. But I was cautiously optimistic for this one, and I was let down. That's two times Zack Snyder. I don't know if I want to give him a chance to strike out with three.
Pretty much.
Well, that being said, we're about 17 minutes here.
I don't think this needs to be edited. I think we both got our points across pretty eloquently.
We'll convert this raw. We'll delve into it more, guys, with our third chair, Katie Hughes, will be back to the podcast. She's great. I think we'll all sort of really flesh out the movie. And after seeing it twice, I think I'll be able to form a more coherent opinion, but massive disappointment on both our parts. But, don't let that bring you down as a DC fan. There are still many great other ways to see these characters as, again, through the animated series, comics, video games.
Rebirth.
Exactly. Rebirth is on the way. There's going to be some great new introductions to these characters with great writers, great artists, editors, colorists, inkers. Great.
Fuck, read some early 2000s JLA. Read some. Yep. There's some new 52 books that are great.
There's great past work.
Read the seminal classics. Read the John Byrne Man of Steel. Mm-hmm. Read the original Dark Knight Returns. I personally hate it, but read Killing Joke if you want to. Just any version is better.
Yeah, I like Killing Joke, but again, these characters are great. And if you like the movie, we can't discredit that. As again, film is subjective. That's great if you enjoyed it. Personally, I did not. I just feel there are other ways you can gain access to these characters and have a better time and a better understanding of who these characters really are.
Yeah. I think that about wraps things up, Donald. So, once again, I am Benjamin Hamlin.
I'm Donald Orr.
You can talk with us both about this movie and others at Ben C. Hamlin and at Not Donald. You can find our show at InfinityBreak.net and InfinityBreak23 on Twitter. We'll have our Daredevil Season 2 and our Batman versus Superman episodes coming out within the next couple of weeks. And of course, we're both featured heavily in the Westport saga. So until next time, I believe in good and I believe in Superman.